Hello, friends. This is Bob Elson aboard the 20th Century Limited, one of the world's great trains, where we have a host of travelers today and some very, very interesting people. Among our guests will be the noted pianist, Dr. Rudolf Ganz, and we have the world's most famous chef, who I'm going to talk to now. He's been with us on the Century before, and it's awfully nice to see him again. Mr. George Rector. How are you, Mr. Rector?
Well, first I'll say hello to you, Bob, and then to our friends out there. I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, I was reading something very interesting about you in life, Mr. Rector.
Way back in 1902, I went to Paris to serve my apprenticeship in the Café de Paris and Marguerite's restaurant. And there I learned how to make the famous Marguerite sauce. For whom do you suppose?
I have no idea.
Diamond Jim Brady. He said either come back with the sauce or in it. I came back with the sauce, and it made a big, big hit.
What about the other dishes?
Well, that was Crepe Suzette. Everybody knows Crepe Suzette, I guess. That's a very expensive dish, you know. To make the sauce, you've got to use oodles and oodles of butter, and you've got to use brandy, and no monkey brandy either, if you know what I mean. It's got to be the real McCoy, and we got to have Benedictine and Grand Marnier. Those are the three main liquors in the dish. In other words, Diamond Jim Brady had a reputation, and he never did drink. Liquor. No alcoholic beverages of any kind, but he could open up more vintage champagne and buy more dollar cigars than any man that ever came into New York. So when we served the Crepe Suzette to Diamond Jim Brady with all these expensive liqueurs in there, someone at the next table remarked, he says, Brady likes to eat his liquor.
Mr. Rector, I didn't know until a few days ago that you had shows in Rector's and that you started some very famous people like Rudolph Valentino.
Oh, yeah. You know, only a few months ago I was in Dinty Moore's restaurant and Georgie Jessel was seated with a couple and he leaned over and he says, you know Georgie Burns, don't you? And Gracie Allen. And I said, no, George, I have never met. Burns spoke up, he says, but I've met you. You used to be my boss. I said, boss where? He says, I used to hoof for you. A hoofer, you know.
Is that
at
right?
At the Te Danson in the afternoon. And he used to come to me with a little slip to okay, paying him $2 for hoofing with the gals. And who else you suppose was there on the list?
I have no idea, Mr. Rector.
Rudy Valentino.
Rudy Valentino, huh?
But he picked up a lot.
And you say that Paul Whiteman got started there.
Paul Whiteman made his debut in one of our restaurants, a Palais Royal. And so did Frisco. He's on his way to Florida now. You know Frisco.
Yes, indeed.
Puffs
I
a cigar.
Very well. Tell us, what was Lillian Russell like, Mr. Rector?
Well, it's hard to describe. She had personality. She had beauty. She had a beautiful figure, rather on the stout side.
Uh-huh.
She weighed 165 pounds. And she had beautiful hair. A blonde, of course. Oh, she was, you know, I asked Harry Thaw a few years ago whom he considered to be the most beautiful woman he ever met. And who do you suppose he said? Lillian Russell. And the second one was Evelyn Nesbit. And the third one was Stanwyck. What's her first name?
Barbara Stanwyck.
Barbara Stanwyck,
well,
yeah.
Well, Mr. Rector, thanks an awful lot for giving us this time today. It's been grand seeing you again. And take care of yourself.
Yeah, but don't forget my shaving.
Oh, here's Crank Shave Cream. Really a wonderful product.
And
I'm glad that you're such a booster for it.
Okey-doke.
Thank you very much. That was the world-famous chef, Mr. George Rector. I'm going to ask an old friend of mine who is on the Century today to be our guest. He is a noted conductor and musician, Dr. Rudolf Ganz. How are you, Dr. Ganz?
Well, I'm rather well. I'm glad to see you and to be around here again.
Yes, Doctor. I believe
you're... I believe that we had you on our program about a year ago.
Yes, and did I hear all about it?
Doctor, what have been some of the most notable things that have happened in the music world? Say, if you could quickly flash back over 6 months or a year's
time.
Yes,
I learned a great deal. I wrote the article for the Encyclopedia Britannica, Music in 1946. And I learned more than I ever expected to by having to look into all this. And I think there is an enormous renaissance in Europe. I have had reports from Poland, Palestine, from all those countries, and I see that everywhere the young, creative men are getting together. So as far as the cultural side and the musical side of poor old Europe is concerned, I think they are getting together, and we will hear from them before long.
Dr. Gans, just about a month ago in Chicago, something happened in Chicago, musically, and that is the appointment of Dr. Rosinski as the head of the Chicago Symphony and the departure of Desiree Defoe.
Yes?
What about this? What about Mr. Defoe?
Well, I mean, I've always been a very great admirer of Defoe. And naturally, Dr. Rosinski has been my boss in New York. And that's why, as long as he's not here and Mr. Defoe is here, I'm a neutral. I was born in Switzerland, and I'm now a very good American, but I'm neutral in this.
Yes. Just tell us a little bit about their different abilities in music, would you? For instance, what are Dr. Rosinski's leanings to in music?
Well, towards the very modern. Very modern. And Mr. Defoe, naturally, he's a very cultured Latin. You see, there are two entirely different temperaments.
I see. What about the gentleman who's succeeding Mr. Rosinski in New York?
They haven't picked anybody.
Well,
they only asked Bruno Walter to be their musical counsel.
Uh-huh.
But probably the season will be divided between two or three.
Oh, I see.
And
what
we
about
have
yourself?
Our suspicions.
Are you doing much playing lately?
Yes. I just had a birthday on last Monday, and I celebrated it by playing a two-hour piano recital in Salt Lake City.
Well, that's fine. Well, Dr. Gans, it's a great pleasure seeing you again on the Century. And I hope you'll try a shave with our product. It's Crank Shave Cream with Diexin.
Oh, I said I had another pen.
And
I usually crank my car, and I'm going to crank my chin.
Fine. Thank you very, very much for being our guest. Friends, in all my years in radio, I've seldom had an announcement to make that gives me such a thrill as this. The makers of Crank Shave Cream with Diexin are making it possible for you to own and enjoy a handsome Revere ballpoint pen. The modern miracle-type pen you've heard so much about. Writes for months without refilling. It's streamlined, and you'll marvel at its feather flow writing ease. This precision-engineered ballpoint pen is the deep-pocket military clip, beautifully plated with 14-karat gold. It has the same kind of ballpoint, the same kind of ink, as the ballpoint pens that are selling up to $15. Yes, and this Revere ballpoint pen comes to you with the maker's guarantee. I want you to try Crank Shave Cream with Diexin, and see for yourself how Diexin and Crank Shave Cream softens your beard in a matter of seconds. So ask your druggist for a tube or jar of Crank Shave Cream with Diexin. Mail the box top with your name and address to Cranks, K-R-A-N-K-S, Crank Shave Cream, Wrigley Building, Chicago, Illinois, with only 50 cents in coins securely fastened or wrapped. And your guaranteed Revere ballpoint pen will be rushed to you postpaid. To my knowledge, this is the first time in the history of the pen market that a ballpoint pen has been offered for 50 cents. So remember, get your tube or jar of Crank Shave Cream today. Send the box top with your name and address to Cranks, Crank Shave Cream, Wrigley Building, Chicago. And now I'm going to ask this gentleman to say a few words. He's one of the best-known leading men in Hollywood. He did a swell job during the war. His name is Vic Mature, and Vic is on the way east on the collaboration of a new picture. How are you, Vic?
Fine. How are you, partner?
Just swell. Vic, tell us about this new movie you're working on, will you?
Well, the name is The Kiss of Death, and we open up in Sing Sing Prison. As I was talking to my mother the other day, who was just returned from New Orleans, she phoned me in California. There's all kids who sort of soap windows and whatnot in neighborhoods, and the neighbors always insisted that some crab, of course, in the neighborhood would say that you'd probably end up in the penitentiary by the time you're 21. As I told mother, she could call up all the neighbors now and tell them that their prophecy has come true because I opened up in Sing Sing Prison. I'll be there for 2 weeks.
Vic, is that a Ben Heck story?
Yes, Ben Heck wrote it in collaboration with Charlie Lederer.
Who else is in the picture?
Brian Donlevy plays the district attorney, Patricia Morrison, and a new young lady named Colleen Gray.
I know you spent about, how many years, was it 4 years in the Merchant Marine?
No, I spent 3 years and 11 months in the Coast Guard.
In the Coast Guard, huh? What kind of work they have you doing, Vic?
Well, just anything that a chief boatswain mate or a boatswain or a coxswain or a boatswain first or second or a seaman could possibly do aboard any ship.
What else have you worked on since you've been out besides this picture?
My darling Clementine, I just finished the picture.
I got quite a bang out of that, too.
Thank you very much.
I like those old westerns. I was an old-timer, but I'll tell you, I ran in Chicago on Randolph Street for months and months and months.
Really?
My darling Clementine.
Well, that's good.
Where'd you shoot that one?
In an Indian reservation, Navajo Indian reservation up in Nevada or Utah, right close around that section, 127 miles from the nearest railroad. Very interesting place.
How long will it take to finish A Kiss of Death?
About 2.5 months. We shoot the entire picture in New York.
Then what happens after that, Vic, do you know?
After that, we return to our home studios, and whatever Daryl Zanuck has to say from there on in, I guess that's what I'll do.
Swell. By the way, where do you originally hail from, New Orleans?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Good old Louisville, huh?
Right, right.
How'd you happen to leave there? When did you first go to Hollywood?
Well, that was years ago, and it's much too long to even carry on, even with this ticker tape over here.
The story, huh? Well, thanks a lot, Vic, for coming on our show today.
Thank you
it's a pleasure
much.
To see you, and I hope the Kiss of Death will be a great picture.
Well, thank you very much for asking me over. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for being our guest. And that was Vic Mature of Hollywood, one of Hollywood's outstanding leading men. And, Vic, don't forget to try a shave with our product. It's Crank Shave Cream with Dioxin, and once you use it, I'm sure you'll never want to use any other shave cream.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Friends, be sure to send for your handsome streamlined ballpoint pen right away. And remember, this is a top-notch quality ballpoint pen, a Feather Flow, smooth-writing Revere ballpoint pen. The supply is limited, and requests will be filled in the order received. All you do is get a jar or tube of Crank Shave Cream with Dioxin, mail the box top with your name and address and 50 cents in coin to Cranks, K-R-A-N-K-S, Shave Cream, Wrigley Building, Chicago. Be sure to send 50 cents on a Crank Shave Cream box top for each pen you order. And now the century's all set to pull out for New York, and this is Bob Elson saying goodbye for today from the world-famous streamliner, the 20th Century Limited.
And this is Claude Kirshner saying goodbye to you, Bob, as you start on your 2 weeks vacation tonight. I know I'm speaking for your many listeners throughout the country when I say have a great time. Until you get back, I'll be pinch-hitting for you on the century, interviewing the famous people in the arts, sciences, and business world who ride this great train to New York City. I'm especially glad to be carrying on for you in this particular program because I've always enjoyed listening to you myself as you interviewed some of the top leaders in all phases of American life. So have a swell time, Bob Elson. We'll be looking for you in a couple of weeks on the Century.